Hello, and you're listening to the Let's Talk Racing podcast in association with Racing TV. And I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Blair White, as we discuss the weekend that's been and the weekend that's coming. Some fantastic racing to reflect on first and foremost, but we'll quickly touch on Honeysuckle before we get into the nitty-gritty stuff. She was just phenomenal. We were both there at Fairy House on Sunday. It was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic to see her, Josh, and I think every time one gets to see her in person is a privilege, really. She's bringing her own crowd to the races at this stage as well, which is often a sign of a great horse. I can only remember in the last couple of years, the likes of Faugheen, Hurricane Fly, the type of crowds they used to bring to Leopardstown. Honeysuckle brought a massive crowd to Fairy House on Sunday. It made for great atmosphere throughout the day, and it was great racing throughout the day. And the fact that, I suppose, the prize quality, the big mare on the stage, you know, was able to pull out the goods yet again and do so in such impressive style yet again, just as a testament to her connections and a testament to how good she is.
She was fantastic, and it was an absolute pleasure to be there as well. And you do feel like whenever you see her now that you're witnessing a small part of history. She's that good. And like you say, the crowd was electric during that Hatton's Grace hurdle. But over the next half an hour, we're going to dissect the weekend's racing, both over at Newbury. We had the Ladbrokes Trophy over in Ireland as well. We also had the long distance hurdle on the Friday and some exciting youngsters that we must touch on, including the John Bond. He looks seriously, seriously good. Before touching on this weekend's racing, some early fancies that we might have for those big races. We've obviously got the Tingle Creek and the Henry VIII. We've also got the Many Clouds at Aintree, Enigamine in the Hillyway, the John Durkin, Alaho, Envoi Arlen, Fakir Doudary, Kilcrut, Sir Gerhard, Dysart Dynamo, Appreciate It, Fernie Hollow, all of these top notches from last year coming out. Plenty to be excited about, and hopefully plenty of good content for you to listen to over the next half an hour. But we will start with Newbury on the Friday, and I'm actually going to start at the very start of the card with Stage Star, and now rated 139 after that novice hurdle win. The shallow hurdle looks next, and the stable won it last year with Brave Man's Game, who was rated 143. So Stage Star doesn't seem to have plenty to find on Brave Man's Game. If we're going to compare the two, I would say Stage Star definitely has more speed. But is he as good as Brave Man's Game, Andrew?
Probably at this stage of his career, he'd have to improve a little bit more. Brave Man's Game was obviously so impressive this time last year in the early part of the season when winning his races at Newbury, and was so good in the shallow hurdle as well. Stage Star more than likely will go down that route, and he could well go very close in a shallow hurdle, I think. To be honest, he's a really nice type of horse. He jumps very well. He finds a lot for pressure as well. It seems to be one of those things. As I was actually in attendance at Chepstow when he made his hurdling debut, and then obviously at Newbury as well, where he got into a little bit of bother maybe at two out and then pulled away again. He's a great horse for the owners group to have. Obviously the owners group have an awful lot of horses, and they bring an awful lot of new interesting people into the game, and you know, for not much money at all, and for a horse to be representing them at a good level and winning such races is great for them, and another seemingly good horse for Paul Nicholls.
Moving forward, and you'd imagine he is the leading player in the shallow. I know Brave Kingdom is out at Sandown on Friday, another Paul Nicholls youngster that looked very impressive on his hurdling debut. Maybe he could go that route and they could decide after this weekend's racing. At the second race or the third race at Newbury on Friday was the 2.5 mile graded novice chase, and Nassalam won it under the hands of Jamie Moore, who in the interview after, he said, "I was on fumes." So I was on Miller's Bank. He was one of the best bets over on the YouTube channel. And I thought I was extremely lucky when Pick Dory came down a couple of flights from the finish. There's surely no way that Miller's Bank can be beaten here, because Pick Dory definitely looked the winner. He looked like he was running a very good race up until that point. Then Miller's Bank unseats the rider. Jamie Moore on Nassalam picks up the pieces. What did you make of this race altogether? And would you be taking Pick Dory in the hope?
Yeah, I suppose so. But Pick Dory's the type of horse that can do these things. You know, he can really do, not disappoint you, but he can throw in that fall just when it looks like he's going to put it all together. And there's plenty of days where he doesn't put it all together. He was really good at Chepstow earlier this season when he won a 2.5 mile novices handicap. And I'm with you. I think he would have won on Friday and would have won pretty impressively. Seems to like better ground, 2.5 miles. A track like Newbury seems to suit him as well. Would you really trust him to go and win next time out where he rocks up? I don't know. It's not a race I'd be maybe rushing to cash in my chips with form-wise, though, because Miller's Bank was going to be fortuitously a winner. And then Nassalam, who I'm sure Jamie Moore was at the top of the straight just thinking, let's just pop away and get third prize money, has ended up being handed a grade two.
The feature on the Friday was the long distance hurdle, the grade two, and Paisley Park went into the race the favourite. Miss Milner, the Irish Raider, was in there. She was well supported on the day. But the winner was Thomas Darby for Ollie Murphy, and his stable is in fine form at the moment. What did you take from this race, and what should they do with Paisley Park and Miss Milner next?
Yeah, hard race to surmise, Josh, really. I thought it was a strangely ran race. It was obviously very quickly ran, and we saw new tactics for Paisley Park on being out in front and seemingly actually travelling with an awful lot more zest than usual. And if you stopped the race turning in, you would have thought, given Paisley Park's usual way of finishing out his races, that he would have been the winner. And he kind of folded pretty quickly. Hard to know what to make of that. On the blind side, plodded along. Mrs. Milner, hard to know. Look, at the end of the day, you can't get away from the fact it looked like she was just found out at the level. I wouldn't be just overly against them having another crack at a grade two sometime down the line, certainly. I thought she had to make up an awful lot of ground, and she was probably the one. I think if she doesn't make the move turning in on the cross bit of Newbury there from 5 furlongs to kind of 3 furlongs out, if she doesn't make that move to get up the tails of Paisley Park and on the blind side, I don't think Thomas Darby wins the race, because she got them racing too soon and raced at a fair bit of petrol herself, and it ended up collapsing into Thomas Darby's hands, and he won very easily. Despite being pumped along with 3/4 of a mile to go, he's ended up arriving there on the snap for Sean Bowen. It was a great ride from Sean Bowen. He's a rider I really, really like. And I'm glad he got his day in the sun. Thomas Darby, a type of horse that has been frustrating, but you couldn't begrudge him winning a grade two.
He was definitely due a win like that. And I'm going to take the credit. I did put him up on the video beforehand as well. And look, I don't think he's going to kick on and be like this unbeaten horse for this season and win all these top races. But you'd imagine he's going to be campaigned now down the stayers hurdle route. And they'll give it a good go, and that's all you've got to do. That being said, so this was the feature. I think the feature was in the maiden hurdle, the 2 mile race. And we had the mighty John Bonn, who broke records at the sales for being the joint most expensive point to point purchase. He's a full brother to the mighty Duvan. And there was plenty of question marks because he opened up 7-2 on. He drifted out to 5-4 on the day, I think even bigger somewhere else. And I think a lot of it was Good Risk at All was a good benchmarker, and he will run his race. And he probably did, in fairness. And then John Bonn, I don't think anything's come out of his point-to-point win, and his novice hurdle, or his bumper time, sorry, from last year, wasn't fantastic. So I think there was holes to be picked, and the market wasn't particularly warm for him. How wrong were those doubters? He settled very well. They went a weird, it took 54 seconds for them when the flag went down to actually get rolling, and they went very slow. But then he jumped very well, and he always jumped himself to the front. And I did think Aidan Coleman did the right thing and just let him bowl along. And he wasn't fussed when he hit the front going down the back, and he just went away and away. And Good Risk at All couldn't live with him. I thought it was very, very impressive. That being said, the fact that he's now 7-2, I think, favourite for the Supreme Novices Hurdle is a slight overreaction from what he's done. He's definitely our leading contender at this stage of the season, but it is so early on, and he's definitely going to have harder tasks down the line before that all-important day on the second week of March. So what did you make of John Bonn? Because we know your love for Duvan.
Look, I've a few strong views on this, to be honest, Josh. Just even pre-race and post-race, I just think this horse, you know, people will say he's overhyped and, you know, what's, you know, everyone's going on about the price tag and the full brother to Duvan and stuff like that. There's an awful lot of things that people are giving out about the horse that's absolutely nothing to do with the horse himself. And let's see the facts. You know, I don't care about his point-to-point form. He won his point-to-point by 15 lengths pulling double. He's won his bumper pulling double. And he's beaten a horse. Everyone banging on to me last week about good risk at all being a bet. He jumps like a fridge. He jumped like a fridge at Chepstow. He did again at Newbury. And people were still willing to take him on with him. Then we rocked up the amount. Like, if I had a euro for every tweet I saw about, oh, I'm not going to touch John Bonnet 2-7 midweek last week, I'd have been a rich man. First of all, people are saying this as if we should be picking 2-7 shots in the first place. But if you're backing them, you're struggling at the game in the first place. And secondly, who cares? That's nothing to do with the horse himself. That's punters. That's the overall hoo-ha outside of the horse himself. The horse looks absolutely superb. Again, people are now giving out about the horse because of his price for the Supreme. I'm with you. Am I backing him at 7-2 for the Supreme? No, I'm not. But that doesn't mean this horse couldn't be incredibly good. I thought he did an awful lot of things that were actually reminiscent of Duvan. He locked on going down to his hurdles. He absolutely pinged them. Coming down to 3 out, him and good risk at all, upside, he pings it. The fridge ploughs into it, and there's 4 lengths between them at the back of 3 out, and the race is cooked. I thought it was remarkably good, and I think people are giving out about things that aren't related to the horse, just about the hoo-ha outside of it and the prices outside of it. You wipe that all aside, John Bond was really impressive.
That being said, Willie Mullins trained Sir Gerhard and Kilcrew. After watching John Bond on Friday, what do you think he was thinking?
I'd say he was thinking, finally, there's something to take his horses on. Like, he'd had no competition up until then, seemingly. Look, you know, I'm sure he thinks his horses are very good. Kilcrew, Sir Gerhard, they bring the champion bumper form. Dysart Dynamo even brings good form to the table. And I'm sure we'll see them this weekend. It'll be interesting to see how they hurdle. I think the only thing Mullins will be thinking is, with all of those good prospects, I'd suspect he's keeping his fingers crossed that they can jump just as well as John Bond did, because for a first start over hurdles, he was incredibly nimble.
We'll move then on to the Saturday, and LA Bell went back to winning ways. We didn't see the finish that we wanted to see. Nina the Terrier was going well at the same stage. I do think LA Bell would have got the job done regardless, but Nina the Terrier was going well before falling at the last. And I'm not convinced with LA Bell. I thought she was good at the weekend. I put her up as one of my best bets, but I still think there'll be one or two that are just too good for her come Cheltenham. She's a good mare, but I don't think she's a great mare.
Obviously, it's now been heightened, you know, the fact that she's won by 8 lengths because of Nina the Terrier crashing out. I'd be with you. I think she had the upper hand, but only would have been a couple of lengths between the two of them. It seems okay form. You know, could it get you placed in a mare's novices hurdle? Potentially, but I would say somebody like Willie Mullins, with his embarrassment of riches at home, isn't quaking in his boots.
Well, exactly. Well, she was ridden very similar to Third Time Lucky the year before in the champion bumper. They were effectively ridden to finish well rather than win the race. And that's exactly how she was ridden. And it gives them good black type and whatnot moving forward. She might be found wanting come March. Ahoy Senor won the Grade 2 3-mile novices chase on the Saturday as well, and he's a fascinating horse in the staying chasing division. He obviously beat Brave Man's Game on the back end of last year at Aintree, and that seemed a shock, but he put away his rivals on Saturday very, very, very easily. What do you make of that form? And if he was to go to the Quarto Star and meet Brave Man's Game, who would you be siding with?
Yeah, I thought he was very good. He seems to be a horse that probably hasn't matured completely just yet. Josh, he seems to kind of bulldoze his way through the odd fence and jumps out a little bit to his right. But these are all things that can be ironed out. Now, that being said, I don't know how on earth a former Grade 1 winner last year and beating Brave Man's Game was allowed to go off second fav to Mr. Incredible. It was just a nonsense, really. Mr. Incredible just about got up to beat Indiana Jones at Nice, and I know there was an awful lot made of the ride that day, and it was a brilliant ride from Rachel, but the form of that race wasn't up to a whole pile, and half the field got taken out of the third fence by a stray horse. So I don't know how Hoy Senor was second fav. He absolutely pulverised them, and I don't know about those two, Ahoy Senor and Brave Man's Game around Kempton. Brave Man's Game might have the edge around Kempton, but I'd potentially be back in this Ahoy Senor, maybe at Cheltenham or Aintree against Brave Man's Game, because I think he's the stronger stayer, and a little bit like we saw at Aintree last year, he might get Brave Man's Game at it and slightly worry him.
It is interesting. I think looking back on Aintree, I do think Brave Man's Game had a hard time at Cheltenham behind Bob Ollinger. It wasn't the greatest preparation for stepping up to 3 miles against Ahoy Senor. Ahoy Senor is clearly extremely talented. He's got a brilliant engine, and I would say his jumping does leave a bit to be desired. Looking at the quarter star, if they were both to go, the only way I can see Ahoy Senor beating Brave Man's Game is by making it a real, real test and Brave Man's Game not staying. And we don't know that he doesn't stay, but we don't know that he does. We've just not seen him really gallop through the line over 3 miles yet. Not to say that he's not got that in the locker. It's going to be interesting. I think I'd back Brave Man's Game personally. We'll see, hopefully, in the Quarto Star. That could be a fantastic race. Let's then look at, I don't even want to look at this race. We'll look at the Ladbrokes Trophy. And you might be thinking, why? Well, in the preview video over on our YouTube channel, it's called Let's Talk Racing. If you're not already subscribed, I put up Remastered at 16-1 for the Ladbrokes Trophy each way. And he fell a long way from home. I'm not going to say that he was definitely going to win, but he was definitely going the best. And I'd imagine in any market, any in-race market, he was certainly the short price favourite, quickened up into the fence, and it was a crashing fall. It was horrible. But Cloudy Glenn did win well. Fiddler on the Roof, I have to hand it to him. I wasn't a massive fan of him, and I didn't think he'd stayed the trip, but he did stay all the way to the line. I also think Cloudy Glenn probably got a bit tired up front. And what did you make of those three, first of all? We'll move on to Eclat de Rire later.
Yeah, well, great, obviously, for the late Trevor Hemmings to get a big win. He'd have gotten an awful lot of a kick out of that, winning one of those big staying handicap chases. And it was a brilliant ride by Charlie Deutsch on this Phoenicia Williams horse. He can be a bit in and out, Cloudy Glenn, but when he's good, he is good. And he was probably overpriced on some of his best form. I think looking back at the race, you'd have to say, as you say, it's a long way from home at four out at Newbury, but Remastered was travelling the best. And I think plenty of people, you know, if you had backed him, you feel entitled to feel that you're a little bit hard done by. But that being said, he slightly inconvenienced Fiddler on the Roof, who probably lost a length and ended up getting beaten a length or a half length. So it was interesting to see how that would have all worked out if Remastered had stayed on his feet. I was with you. I didn't fancy Fiddler on the Roof one tap for the race personally, but he ran a massive race, a big race. He seemed to suit the big field handicap. He seemed to suit the kind of the hardships of the race. So it'd be interesting to see how he's campaigned. He's probably a little bit between a rock and a hard place now, because I still just do not believe he's a grade one horse in any, you know, at kind of 3 mile level, you know, in open company. But at the same stage, he's probably now handicapped out of things. So hard horse to place, but fair plays to connections of Venetia and Charlie for a very good win on Cloudy Glenn.
But then the fighting fifth was a dead heat. Fascinating. Epitant came in there, the warm favourite. Mon Mireille, the youngster, the unbeaten youngster that could put it up to Epitant. And it was Not So Sleepy who spoiled the party. He had plenty of ability and he was going to do this one day, but Saturday was that day. What did you make of Mon Mireille? And what did you make of Epitant?
Yeah, well, Mon Mireille kind of sacked it in pretty quickly. So you can't imagine that's really his proper form. I still believe we're going to have to wait until this horse sees a fence before we probably see him to best effect. I wouldn't have ever really had him down as being a champion hurdle horse this year, and I suspect he certainly won't be going down that route now after that. Probably go up in trip and see where you can go. You'd be a little bit disappointed Epitant couldn't get the job done. You know, she's receiving £7 from Not So Sleepy. And as you say, Not So Sleepy's a horse with plenty of ability. He's won a few big field handicaps off big weights. You know, I backed him at Ascot last year where he won a big field handicap. But, you know, you wouldn't have thought he was up to winning a or dead heating in a fighting fifth. And so Royal jumped the last, looking like he was going to play a massive hand as well. So I wouldn't say the form is red hot, certainly from a champion hurdle perspective, and based off what we saw the day after at Fairy House with Honeysuckle, I suspect she's not worrying too hard about Appetant.
We are scratching around over here for a true champion hurdle contender, and I do firmly believe that if Buzz ran in the fighting fifth at the weekend, he'd have won. Then again, he wouldn't have beat Honeysuckle, who we will get on to now. She was just electric. We were both together watching the race, and I thought that they went quite hard up the front with Stormy Island. And there was a moment in the race where Rachel Blackmore didn't hesitate, but Stormy Island kind of came back to her and Ronald Pump, and they got racing quite early. And I said to you, I said, she's going to have to stay really well to get home here. I was expecting her maybe to have gone too soon. That wasn't the case, and I was completely wrong. She went away, and she didn't stop. It was just breathtaking. She's just in a league of her own. And you'd imagine, as long as she stays sound, the champion hurdle this year is at her mercy, especially with the likes of Appreciate It, Bob Wallinger and Fernie Hollow going chasing. Is there anything in the land that can beat her in March?
No, I don't think so. Over 2 miles, really, especially based off the fact that, as you say, those aforementioned horses are all going chasing. You know, you thought, maybe an Appreciator or a Bob Wallinger or a, you know, maybe a Fernie Hollow or something could potentially have put it up to her, but none of them are going to. And I can see why. I wouldn't be queuing up to take her on, given her £7. As you say, they've tried an awful lot of, you know, different trainers have tried different ways to get this mare beat, whether they go slow, whether they go fast. They went fast on Sunday. It was a relentless end-to-end gallop. As you say, they got racing plenty early and she's absolutely pulverized them. I thought Ronald Pump ran a great race. Back in second, you know, he's certainly a horse who, you know, he's come second in plenty of these grade ones, probably deserves a day in the sun sometime. You know, he might be a horse for the 28th of December up in Leopardstown in that 3 mile race, but Honeysuckle was absolutely superb. And, you know, you felt she just kind of, she justified the expectations of a willing crowd.
I think Honeysuckle would win the Stayers Hurdle. I think she'd win the Mayor's Hurdle, and I think she'd win the Champion Hurdle. She's just in a league of her own. The race was fantastic. And the winner was brilliant, but there was a sad, sad part of the race where latest exhibition, a horse close to your heart, did break down. It was horrible viewing, and unfortunately, it was a fatal injury.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a hard one to talk about, Josh. I'm not going to lie, you were right beside me at the time, and I was fairly inconsolable, and I can only think of the people more closely connected to the horse. Obviously, I'm just a fan. I'm a fan of the stable. The stable have been really good to me in terms of opening their arms, allowing me down to see all these great horses and giving me such great access. And as a result, you know, I am a big fan. I want them to do well. They're really nice guys. And I think the outpouring of all those things on Twitter after what had happened would indicate to you just how liked and how loved, you know, Paul and James Nolan are in Irish racing. And to see, I know James and Kira, who's the travelling head last, went down to see the poor horse at the end of the straight and walked back, and there were tears in the eyes. And, you know, it's just a desperate situation. It is obviously part of the game, but for a slightly smaller stable with such a stable star and a horse that we hadn't seen the best of yet, this could have been his season. To see what happened and the manner it happened as well was truly, truly awful. And I can only echo what everyone's been saying about sending their condolences to the yard, because they're such lovely people. They're such hardworking people and they deserve more horses. You know, I know it's very cliche to say they deserve more better horses, but they really do. And this has happened before with them. They had a great horse for JP only 5-6 years ago. Defy Logic won the grade one at Leopardstown over Christmas. And he unfortunately was fatally injured a couple of months after that as well. So it's not great luck. So I'm, you know, at this time, you know, people need to fly the flag for them as much as possible. And I will keep doing so because they're lovely, great guys. And it's a real shame to see what happened on Sunday.
The high highs of Honeysuckle winning at one end of the race course to the deepest lows at the other. Latest exhibition was a brilliant horse, and we were both there to see him win that grade one at the Dublin Racing Festival, the novice hurdle, and he was a smasher, and I'm sure he'd have had a brilliant campaign. It's a massive shame for all those connected with him. And like we say, everyone at the podcast does send their condolences. But we will touch on some of the other races on the card. And Phil Dore won the Grade 3 Juvenile Hurdle. He wasn't as impressive as his debut, but he'd have struggled to be as impressive as his debut. Definitely the ground on Sunday was too quick for him. He still got the job done. Immediately after the race, Gordon and Davey pulled Three Stripe Life. So that's all you've got to kind of got to know about that. They thought it was rapid. Is he the rightful 6-1 favourite for the Triumph Hurdle?
Yeah, I think he's very much the rightful favourite. Again, another horse that's probably getting a little bit kind of bashed about because of his anti-post price, which has nothing to do with the horse himself and the performances he's putting in. He was never going to be as impressive as his debut run because he was beating trees on his debut run up in Day and Royal. No disrespect to the connections of those horses who will win plenty of races, but at a lower level. And this was a proper test against proper good horses. And it was only, like, if you took Lunar Power out of the race, he's, you know, 15 lengths clear of third. And Lunar Power is a good horse who beat a horse I know you like a lot, this Iberique de Soy, last time out by 4 lengths. So he's obviously a good horse. He was a flat recruit for Noel Mead, so he was likely to be more convenienced by good ground. I just love the way Phil Dore goes about things. He goes asleep in his races, he jumps, and just when you need him, he comes alive for you. And I don't want to put massive big, you know, expectations on this horse. I know he's only a juvenile. I know he's only ran twice. But just the slight laziness in his running and slight kind of ability to just do what he needs to do was not far dissimilar to Envoy Len in his novice hurdle campaign, where it was all just kind of keeping asleep, that little bit of worry, but then getting the job done. And I think Phil Dore might continue to impress, especially on softer ground.
High praise from AVW. Coming up, we've got some fantastic entries. We hope the races are as good as we think they could be. And we'll start off at Aintree in the Grade 2 Many Clouds Chase. And Album Photo is the market leader. We've got Protectorat in there, Champ in there as well, Native River, Imperial Aura. Album Photo, if he goes over, Andrew, does the boom get the job done?
Yeah, well, let's hope he does. Yeah, it looks to be an interesting race. It would be great if he did run. It would help the race no end, and it'd be a great spectacle for the people going to Aintree. He's sometimes a little bit vulnerable on his first start. I think especially last year at Tremor, he wasn't at his best at his first start, and that's why they're citing getting that extra run into him this year, because he's a little bit older, a little bit stuffier, and needs that little bit of preparation. It's an interesting race. Plenty of horses maybe making that step up from Handicap Company. I'd be very interested to see Imperial Aura if he was to back up in this race. I know it's only a couple of weeks since his fall in the Betfair Chase, so he mightn't do so. But I thought he was going to run very well and potentially might have come second in that Betfair Chase if he'd stood up. So he'd be one I'd certainly be keeping an eye on over 3 miles. I don't think we've seen the best of him just yet.
Over at Sandown, we have two Grade 1s, the Henry VIII Novices Chase and the Tingle Creek. And third time lucky, and Edward Stone look maybe in a league of their own in the Henry VIII. Do we think that third time lucky can, he's obviously a Grade 2 winner at this point, do you think he can get that one better and win a Grade 1?
Yeah, you'd like to think so, and he brings the best novice chase form to the table. I'd freely admit that, and probably should go and should be favoured and should go and win. I don't think it's as much of a certainty, especially after the way, you know, the Cheltenham run was. He didn't seem to be, you know, seem to have massive amounts in the tank, and I think there's some good horses in behind here. Edward Stone's very good. I'd be really interested to see whether those Carlisle pair will run the Warlord and Manella Drama form. I think that race up in Carlisle was really good form. I think the two of them are very good horses, actually, and I'd be interested to see them as well in the mix, and hopefully there's a big test for third time lucky, because until we see him pass a big test against proper horses, we won't ever really know whether we can actually consider him as a real live Arkle contender.
You wouldn't think that was the Grade 1 Novice Chase looking at the entries this weekend. Appreciate it, and Fernie Hollow look set to make their chasing debut. They've two options. They've got the Grade 3 Novice Chase at Navan, and then they've got the 2 miles and 1 furlong Beginner's Chase at Punchestown on Sunday. Hopefully they put in some good rounds of jumping and we can get equally excited about that Arkle clash, maybe with third time lucky. The Tingle Creek, however, to Chacun Pour Soir, looks likely to come over for the race. Nube Negra is there in second favourite, and then we're scratching around for the Grenadines of the world. Shaq and Poursoir, a horse that you love, a horse that I love as well. I think he'd beat Nube Negra if he runs. Nube Negra did look improved, but I do think Shaq and Poursoir is just one notch better.
Yeah, I think overall I do agree with it, Josh. One thing I would bear in mind, though, if you're going to take Shaq and Poursoir, and he's probably going to be a short enough price if you're going to back him, is that in his previous couple of years, he's come on an awful lot for that first start. Got beaten by Aplutar at Christmas 2 years ago. He was workmanlike in the Hilly Way last year as well, and they were really adamant against getting the Hilly Way into him before going to Christmas time. So that's just something to bear in mind. Probably not a race I'd have a play in. Hoping Shakan goes over and runs, and I would love to see him absolutely demolish Nube Negra, just like he did at Punchestown at the end of the year. Because, as I've said to you plenty of times, there's an awful lot of naysayers with Shakan Poursoir just because of what happened at Cheltenham. But I'm certainly not one of those. I think he's absolutely electric.
Kilkrutzer Gerhard, Dysart Dynamo, entered in the 2 mile novice hurdle at the weekend, a maiden hurdle, sorry. We've also got Enigmine in the Hilly Way. But the one race I do want to get your opinion on is the John Durkin, the Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. And Alaho runs, the Ryanair winner. We have Envoi Alain, who bounced back in fine style last time. And Fakir Doudary looked potentially better than he did last year on his reappearance. It looks a good, strong race. Alaho, Envoi Alain, Fakir.
Yeah, it's always funny, Josh. There will always be one horse in the John Durkin that will outrun his odds at a big price. I couldn't tell you who it would be, but it might be a Melon or a Tornado Flyer or one of these horses if they were to run. But overall, you would think it's between those three. I'd take Alaho on, definitely. I don't think he'll be revved up for the middle of December. He was non-sighted in this race last year. It will all be about March for him. Fakir Doudary looked visually impressive at Clonmel and did it quite nicely. But those were horses that he should have been beating, and he beat them very impressively, as he should have done. I'm hoping that it's Envoi Alain, personally speaking. I think it'd be good for the game if it was Envoi Alain to be the one that would take that step forward and to potentially go and win the John Durkin on the weekend. There's been a lot of rain around the last day or two in Ireland. I'm hoping that continues, because I think the softer the ground, the more of these runners we're going to get. Like, you look at the entries at the moment, I think there's 17 in there. It's an absolute who's who of racing. And I think if you got soft ground, you might get 8 or 9 runners in the race, and that would be really, really interesting. And it would be a proper test for Envoi Alain to see what he's made of.
Absolutely. I'm hoping Envoi Alain can stamp his authority on the field in the John Durkin and be that Ryanair contender. But then again, if he wins impressively, do they step him up in trip? Do they step him down? Quickly flick through a few early fancies. We're going to be doing a weekend preview tomorrow morning on the YouTube channel, and then a special Cheltenham Anti-Post November update video on Sunday. And there's a horse that's running at the weekend, or two horses running at the weekend, that I do want to briefly mention. One is Ibarik Desoy, who's currently 25-1 for the Boodles with Unibet. Champion Green for Joseph O'Brien, who actually won a 1 mile, 1 furlong maiden at Punchestown on the flat. I think that Champion Green could be quite smart in that first race at Cork. And I'm hoping Ibarik Desoy can finish second to him. We're getting that vital experience. He'll look to have the perfect profile for that race in March. So I'm not going to put that up yet, but he's one I've got in mind for the Boodles. And then Concertista as well makes her chasing debut. She's 13-2 for the Mayor's Chase. I say on hurdles form, she'd probably beat Ellie May. So if she can transfer that over fences, she's going to be a real force and maybe a real standout as well. So Concertista, two horses I'm thinking of in the back of my mind towards Cheltenham. And then one fancy that I really like this weekend, I might make in my nap of the weekend in tomorrow's preview. I'm not 100% sure, but Mac the Man, 8-1 in the last race at Sandown, the 2 mile handicap hurdle. He's a Sandown winner before. He actually, funnily enough, beat Protectorat and Song for Someone over 2 miles in a listed handicap hurdle 2 years ago. They were obviously giving him weight that day. And then he was third behind Langer Dan, who was, I think, severely well handicapped in the Imperial Cup. He drew a mile clear of the field in the Martin Pipe on his next start. Couldn't get the job done because Gallop and Deschamps was equally as well handicapped. Mac the Man's in form. He won at Exeter in November, and I do think he's ground versatile as well. So Mac the Man, 8-1 for Evan Williams in that last race at Sandown. I'm going to pin my flag to him. I think he'll run extremely well.
In terms of for the weekend itself, I do have one at Navan in the Foxtrot handicap chase on the Saturday, a 2.5 mile handicap chase, and a horse that did me a very good turn at Naas last time, a horse called Wah Wah for Dermot McLaughlin. He won by 8 lengths in a handicap last time out. He's been risen in the weights and he's in a better type of race now as well, but his form seems to be stacking up from the summer. He came second to a horse called the Dabbler, who came very close in the Porterstown, I must say, off under a slightly suspect ride in the closing stages. But that form looks good. He's won his last two. Brian Cooper's got a very good record on him now for Dermot McLaughlin. And it wouldn't surprise me if off a low enough weight that he could potentially add a third win on the trot.
Thank you very much for joining me, AB. And we will be looking at the weekend's racing, like we said, in tomorrow's preview video on the Let's Talk Racing YouTube channel. Go on over there and subscribe if you haven't already. And then we've also got that all-important November anti-post update for the Cheltenham Festival coming on Monday the following week. So plenty to be excited about. We hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you soon.